We go to the Revel Wireless Hotline now to check in with our good buddy from NFL Network, Charles Davis, who's been on this show before. Charles, we talked with you before the draft to get your thoughts on what the Browns might do, and now you know what they've done. And I wanted to get your big picture thoughts on the Browns' selections.
Well, I go back to Kiki Mingo, Vic, and the selection of him, because when I started this whole process, as we all did, you know, we all had like a first mock draft or first thoughts about team needs and however we broke it down. And my first thinking was, you know, pass rusher off the edge, someone who could bring the heat and really help, you know, that defense overall, someone, another toy for Ray Horton to utilize across his chessboard. And guess what? I had Jarvis Jones targeted, the kid out of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
As the process went along, you know, I had Jarvis in there for the longest time because I thought he was a top 10 player based on production, everything we saw. And then, of course, came his pro day. You remember the pro day.
Yep.
And I think, you know, it sent shockwaves across the NFL, even probably for those who had been kind of warned, because the Georgia strength and conditioning staff had warned us, hey, one thing just to keep in mind, he's not going to test as well as you think he plays. And everybody's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, look, he's not going to run. You know, when you watch him on tape, you probably think he's a 4.5, 4.6 guy. He's not going to run that. And he's not as explosive in the jumping things and all this other stuff. And we're like, yeah, okay. You know, because, Vic, you're watching a guy dominate the SEC.
Right.
And you're just thinking, yeah, okay, sure. And he runs 4.95 and jumps, what, 30 inches, I think, in the vertical?
Yep.
So that product, you know, that conversion of power to speed doesn't compute. And then, you know, the biggest flag for me was, Vic, was that he never scheduled another time to run. When a guy like that runs 4.95, you would think to yourself, okay, well, his biorhythms are off, he's got a pulled hammy, he's got something. And he's going to show them, hey, I'm faster than that. And it's almost to me, by him not running again, that told me that they thought that he and his agent and his inner circle said, you know something, this is what I am. And we've shown it one time, and maybe the reason he ran only on pro day and not at the combine was smaller crowd, less of a news cycle, you know, all yeah. those stories. And maybe they were smart and got out ahead of it. So I said, okay, I'm not sure he's a top 10 guy. Not in the hoops, I'll take a shot. Mingo fit the bill. Because I thought the Jets were really, really, you know, jonesing for Mingo because of what he can do. Mm-hmm. And the Browns jumped on him at 6. I really, really liked that selection. I thought that was a big time move by the Browns.
Yeah, what do you like best about Mingo? Because there's a lot of talk about lack of weight right now. He's
yeah.
checking in at about 6'4", 240. And, you know, that is kind of light for mm-hmm. an outside linebacker. What are your thoughts there?
I kind of look and see Jason Taylor coming out of school. Mm. Remember him coming out of Akron?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he looked like a crane, you know? And you're like, okay, can this guy hold up to the point of attack? Can he do this? Can he do that? And as you know, Vic, we've done such a good job of turning into a specialist game within the overall structure. Alden Smith came in, and he wasn't exactly what you'd call filled out from Missouri, went to San Francisco.
Right.
And remember, he only had the 2 years because he came out as a redshirt sophomore, and his last year wasn't great because he played hurt all the time. But they had a plan for him. And I'm probably quite sure Ray Horton's going to have a plan too. Alden Smith's plan was third down, go get the quarterback. Well, we'll feed you everything else later. You know, well, we'll figure it out. And that worked pretty well. He set a rookie sack record and continues to play well, and they keep feeding him more, and that's a full-time player. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they do the same thing with Mingo, where they put him in positions where he can have a lot of success early, or have the chance to have a lot of success early, I should say. It'll be up to him, obviously, and let him continue to grow, build up his body. And, you know, Vic, you and I will talk about this in 2 or 3 years, and we'll say, hey, you remember when Kiki Mingo was a skinny kid when he first came in?
Right.
And now he's filled out, and he might be one of those kids who looks skinny his whole career, but is stronger. Natural maturity, better time in the weight room. You know, let's face it, even in the SEC, with his gifts, he probably could get away with a little bit less of working out because he was just a better, more dominant athlete. That'll have to change in the NFL. But he may still look the part because, you know, look, my family, some of them are rural country people, okay? Mm. And you remember, Vic, if don't mess with those country kids.
Oh, no.
Who just look wiry, right?
Right.
They were strong as the day was long.
Very
they worked
tough.
Hard. They
yeah.
did things. They may not have the rocked-up muscle look, but don't mess with them. I think Mingo's going to be that kind of a guy. He may never look like Charles Atlas, but I have a feeling he's going to get stronger and starting to play pretty well.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing that I think people underestimate with the NFL and don't take into consideration in, around draft time is how much a guy will change, not just because he's a young man who can still develop physically, but he's in the program with an NFL strength and conditioning coach. And that I know this is not 100% the case throughout the league, but in more cases than not, you see bodies do change because of the rigors of the program. They've got to put the work into it, but working with the know-how of someone, and in the case of the Browns, they have a guy named Brad Rohl, who's quite accomplished when it comes to strength and conditioning. So he gets his hands on Mingo, and that can make a big difference.
Oh, without a doubt. And let's face it, someone told me this years ago, and kind of opened my eyes a little bit, because, you know, you're always arguing the benefits of, do you stay in school an extra year or do you go to the NFL or the NBA or whatever? And the person said, look, so many different factors go into whether a kid will have success, whether they come out early, not come out early, whatever. I'm not talking about this specifically with Bingo, but just right. Overall the difference between staying in college or being in college and going to the next level. And the person said, the one thing that's indisputable is that if a person is willing to put the time and effort in, there's no way that they can't do anything but get better on the next level quicker than on the college level. And the reason being is it's your job. It's full time. You know, you have access full time, 24/7, every day you want to. They can coach you up. And I know the CBA rules are different than the NFL now, but it's just like, you know, a person said, if you really want to get better, that's your level. You're going against better people every day. It's more concentrated coaching. You don't have 20-hour a week rule. You know, you're not just a superior athlete to almost everyone else on your team, because look, if you don't put the time in the NFL, you'll be cut and someone else will take your place. So that's what you're, you know, to your point, in 3 years of just concentrated time, 2 years of concentrated time, he'll be a different looking young man.
Charles Davis from NFL Network joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Charles, as we look also at the third-round pick, the Browns' second pick overall, Leon McFadden, cornerback, San Diego State, a guy, too, where there have been questions about his height, just under 5'10", yeah. But a very solid guy physically. When you look at him, he's put together, and we got to see him up close again during this recent rookie minicamp. And my question to you is, do you see, what were your thoughts of this guy before the draft, and to see him being selected by a team that has the definite need at corner and could very well be looking to plug him in as a starter right off the bat?
Yeah, we saw him at the Senior Bowl up close and personal and had a very good week. Had a chance to spend a little time with his dad, who was a Major League Baseball player.
Right.
With the Houston Astros, a middle infielder, outfielder. That was a lot of fun. And said, you know, I was laughing. I said, how come your son didn't go play baseball? How come he didn't follow dad? He said, man, that curveball messed up everybody.
Yeah.
He said he wanted no part of that.
Right.
But he did a really nice job at the Senior Bowl. Excellent feet and footwork. Covered people very, very well. I think the size is a consideration, and that's why, to me, he went in the third round, Vic. Right. I think that if he were a taller, right,
mm-hmm.
you know, kid, you're talking about pushing him up and him competing with guys who went in the first two rounds. But he went about where I expected him to go. And it was, as you said, a need for the Browns. And remember, for a lot of us going into the draft at six, we had plugged in guys like Dee Milner, the cornerback from Alabama,
yep.
because it is a need, and saying, hey, give Joe Hayden a running mate. So this gives McFadden an opportunity. The Browns get him, I think, good value. Get him right about where he's projected in the third round. He's a guy who can come in and compete for a starting job. And, you know, at worst case, you're going to look at him as a nickel corner, a guy who can cover the slot inside, which may be, you know, because of his size, maybe more of what people are looking at. I remember Tyrann Mathieu from LSU, you know, they're talking about him being much more of a nickel corner, you know, despite his off-field issues. And then, of course, on draft day, they surprised heck out and talked about him playing safety, and I about fell out of my chair because I haven't been around the game as long as you have, Vic. But when you call me sometime and tell me the 175-pound safeties that you remember in modern football that have held up over time, you let me know. Because I've been trying my best to get them. I mean, Eric Weddle, we consider a small safety. He's
yeah.
over 200 pounds.
Yep.
He's just shorter. So, you know, it's hard to see. But McFadden, I like him. I like the pick, and I like the fact that he'll have a chance to compete for a job opposite Joe Haden right away.
You know Mike Lombardi well. You guys were cohorts there at NFL Network, and you know his thinking when it comes to personnel, putting a team together. And it's not just his job to do this. Obviously, Joe Banner, there's a collective mindset, Rob Chudzinski all involved. But in some remarks he made recently, reinforcing in a speaking engagement that he had at the Hall of Fame in Canton, the point he stressed is the point that has been the talking point of the organization about sustained success. That when people looked at the fact that the Browns traded away fourth and fifth round draft picks this year, there was some uproar. You know, are you giving up on 2013? And the answer is no. But to do this right, to do it the way they want to do it, they want to build for success over the long haul. What do you think about that?
You know, I get it. And it's a little bit different approach. And for a team that hasn't had as much success lately as they've wanted, it's hard for fans to swallow it. And I get it, because they're saying, hold up a second. We haven't been beating people, yet we have a chance to draft people. And, you know, draft day is like a holiday for fans.
Right.
You get to unwrap some shiny new presents and crow about it. And when you don't utilize all of those picks, you feel a little bit cheated, maybe the wrong word, but you feel a little bit let down, like, oh. You know, only got three presents and Bob, you got five? You know, what happened here? And I think that's the issue for the fans. They have to adjust to that what the management's saying is like, look, it hasn't been working before. We're new here, and we see it as going in a different way, and we didn't see getting the value we wanted here. And we're going to hold and go off and try and utilize it more in the next year's draft. And create a model, as you said, that's going to sustain over time, as opposed to, can we get to the playoffs by next year? Because in the NFL, you can. We've seen it how many times? You go from, you know, zero to first, but do you stay up there? The NFC South was, you know, for a while, we talk about volatile, right? Hmm. Every year, remember, Vic, the team that finished last seemed to get all the way up to first the next year?
Yep.
But did they stay? Because it seemed like that was just changing each and every year. So the Browns are saying, let's not do that. Let's try and do it a little bit different approach. And I'll bring college into it again. Similar to those coaches who look at the three or four scholarships they have at the end of their recruiting, do I use it on kids that I'm not sure will ever contribute fully to my program? They may be great kids, but will they be difference makers? Or do I hold these for next year, maybe find some extra difference makers, and we become better over time? I think that's what the Browns' approach has been.
The next big story of the offseason, Charles, is obviously the quarterback competition, Brandon Weeden, Jason Campbell, and it's going to play itself out, you know, I'm presuming now through the preseason. So this will be a regular conversation, but I just want your early thoughts on what you see from Brandon Weeden coming into year two and what you know of Jason Campbell and what he can bring to the table.
Yeah, I think that for Brandon Weeden, this is probably a better fit. Even though it sounds strange, you know, Brandon Weeden with the new group. Chud, you know, Chudzinski, when he was with Carolina, showed to me a terrific ability to adapt to talent. Because remember, he took, when he had Cam Newton that first year, remember, there's no OTAs and no mini camps. And he went ahead and adapted to Cam's strengths early. And they got off to, remember, Cam Newton threw for over 400 yards in his first two games, one of them against the Green Bay Packers. So pretty darn good. So they are going to play to the strengths of Brandon, I think, as opposed to, hey, this is how it works and you got to fit into that. I think that's a good thing for Brandon Weeden. It gives him a great opportunity. Jason Campbell's just been a solid pro. I think for the longest time, Vic, we looked at Jason Campbell and kept saying, if we can just get him in a stable situation where it's the same OC, the same head coach, the same terminology a couple years in a row, he'll really flourish. The poor guy, I've lost track of how many different people he's gone through, even dating back to college. You remember that story about him, Vic? I think his 4 years in college at four different coordinators,
yep.
You know. And then he got to the pros, and he, like, his first 4 years in the pros is like the same exact thing. So how he even gets the right terminology is beyond me. That tells you how smart he is, because he's always adapting to something new. But I'm not sure that's there now. I'm not sure that we're saying, okay, Jason Campbell, give him in a spot. He can really jump out there and flourish. I think that this is Brandon Weeden's job to lose. I think this is his time and his opportunity to show people that he can be that viable NFL quarterback, and he has to seize this chance now, because unfortunately for him, we may joke about his age, but he is 30. He's about to be 30 years old. Yeah. And so his clock ticks a lot faster than it does for other guys. So he's got to jump out there now. And you know, he's heard the stories. He's heard the reports. Hey, I'm not sure management's enamored with me. I'm not sure they want to keep me. He heard the stories that the Browns could pick a quarterback at 6 in the draft, and that the Browns are still seeking that quarterback. And I think it's his time. I mean, I like Jason Campbell a lot, but I think really this is more of a Brandon Whedon question than it is a Jason Campbell one.
Charles, tremendous. As always, we appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Thank you, Vic. As always, it's a pleasure to be on the show with you. Thanks for having me.
All right. He is Charles Davis from NFL Network. He's on the Revel Wireless Hotline, and we've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.